Well, the deep state desperately wants Trump dead or out of the picture, and they're going to keep trying over and over again. Overnight, we learned a lot more about the latest patsy who tried to kill President Trump. Journalist George Eliason has uncovered evidence that shooter Ryan Routh was legally acting as a Ukrainian agent. So the question is, did he file with the DOJ under the FARA Act? That's a good question. And new video has emerged that would-be assassin attempting to recruit American students to sign up to fight for Zelensky in Ukraine. Watch this new video.
The Ukrainians have a right to fight back.
I don't do paper, though.
I don't care if you do paper or not. I'm looking for revolutionaries. Whatever people want to take this whole system down.
Bro, I'm a veteran. Like, do you need me?
What kind of veteran are you?
Bro, I served in Nuketown.
Well, I think it's better to serve and fight in the powers, fucking over the system.
Yeah, it turns out Americans don't want to fight and die in Ukraine. Roger Stone is our guest. He knows a lot about the deep state actors trying to kill President Trump. Roger, you've been saying for the last few weeks they are going to try again. I think people were like saying, no, Roger, you can't be true. That can't be right. You're going to try again. And absolutely that is the case. What was your reaction the moment you heard about this?
Well, obviously shock and then immediate relief that the president was not harmed. But you're right. I mean, first, I look at this from a historical point of view. I wrote a book in 2013 about the assassination of President Kennedy. I concluded and documented the Secret Service's role in standing down. Right now, I'm working on a book on the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, the full story of which has never been told. I will document government misconduct in that case as well. The questions coming out of Butler are more troubling every week. A majority of the president's detail were not Secret Service agents, but Department of Homeland Security agents who had a two-hour online tutorial on executive protection. Please, they knew there was a gunman with a gun inside the perimeter for 92 minutes, and they never told the president or his detail or evacuated him. Too many questions. And now this: why was there no drone surveillance of the golf course, for example? So I think it's born of desperation. It's born of hysteria. Donald Trump is on his way to winning this election, and they fear justice, not revenge, justice, meaning people being treated equally under the law. There was a lot of treasonous activity during the final days of the Obama administration. I think that they fear being brought to justice.
And you bring up the Secret Service piece of this. I mean, what we've learned overnight from the Secret Service is that, well, there's a lot of shrubbery, you know. It reminded me of the old Monty Python sketch, shrubbery. Like, they can't deal with sloped roofs and shrubbery. And the Secret Service, because he wasn't a sitting president, had a lighter detail around the golf course. Of course, new video has emerged of President Obama, Martha's Vineyard, playing golf. The Secret Service is examining every car that rolls through the golf course. Massive Secret Service detail. But it seems there's a double standard for President Trump.
Well, first of all, we should ship the Secret Service back to the Treasury Department and out of the more politicized Department of Homeland Security, just the way that they denied protection to Robert Kennedy. Now, I like Robert Kennedy. I admire him. I supported President Trump. I'm now delighted that they've joined in what could be the making of a new American majority. But the idea that they would not give him service when he was fully legally qualified, and while the media was whipping up this hate against him, just another example of the irresponsibility and the politicization of the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees the Secret Service.
Were you surprised that the legacy media almost basically comes out, labels this guy almost like a lone gunman once again? He's just one guy. There's nothing to see here. And then any of us who start digging into his past, that he's in Ukraine. You don't go to Ukraine. You don't fight in Ukraine. Come back and not have some connection to the United States government. They know who you are. If you're going to Ukraine, flying there, trying to shoot Russians, then you are on their watch list. But the corporate media, of course, now he's a lone guy. He's just a one-off guy, just like the guy in Butler, just like Thomas Crooks. He's acting alone.
First of all, Mr. Crooks is seen in a still photograph talking on the phone just before the shooting. He's talking to somebody. Who is he talking to? I had a number of tips that a man named Maxwell Yerrick was involved in Butler. I never put it forward as an assertion. I put it forward as a question. He had two prior arrests for assaulting Trump supporters outside Trump rallies. But what he has in common with this new shooter is they were both in Ukraine. And it appears they were both in Ukraine at the same time. So I'm digging into that. I'm not making any claim. I'm saying these are legitimate questions that need to be researched.
Interesting. What do you make of Governor DeSantis of Florida saying they're going to do their own investigation?
Well, I'd like to see the governor redeem himself, in all honesty. Ron DeSantis would never have been governor of Florida but for Donald Trump. He was running in single digits, out of money. All 67 Republican county chairman had endorsed his opponent, as had every Republican member of the legislature. It was Donald Trump, through one tweet, one simple tweet, that lifted Ron DeSantis out of obscurity and made him governor. I'd hoped that he wouldn't challenge the president. He's 42 years old. He has plenty of time. And there's plenty of problems here in Florida to deal with, utility rates, rising crime, and so on. But I think the governor has an opportunity to redeem himself here by conducting a completely investigative, complete investigation. I would trust him at this point far more than I would trust some of these deep state actors. Can we ask the Secret Service and the FBI to investigate themselves? I think not.
What lingering questions do you have about this latest assassination attempt?
A little tough for me because, you know, I do a 3-hour live radio show on Sundays. So while most of it was going on while I was doing news bulletins, I really haven't had a chance to read enough about it. But I do know that facility very well. I've played golf with the president there. It's hard for me to believe, first of all, as I said earlier, no drone surveillance of the vicinity. I read that the car that he drove was parked there for quite some time. Nobody questioned that. I mean, and there are just too many questions. Again, the real question is, who will get to the bottom of this? If it is not the House Republicans, then it will be no one. They have the authority. They have the subpoena authority. They have the power to do it. The question is, will they actually do it? It disappoints me that Corey Mills and Clay Higgins, some of the most qualified people to be on the committee, were not appointed to the committee by the speaker. Corey Mills being a counter sniper himself and a huge, extensive military experience. These are the right people to be investigating this crime, but they didn't get appointed to the committee.
I hate to ask you this question. I mean, you were correct that they were going to try to assassinate President Trump again. Everyone keeps talking about this October surprise. The deep state has tried repeatedly to take him out. What do you think we're looking at here as we head in with 50 days left before the election?
Well, first of all, in all honesty, my conclusion is spiritual. It's built on the Bible, specifically Samuel 1, sections 15 and 16. I think speaks to the time of two kings. It's apocryphal. I think it's prophetic. Saul, the illegitimate king, that's Biden. David, the legitimate king. Saul tried to kill David three times in the Bible. So I see a lot of parallels here. I heard from more pastors last night than I did politicians. It was amazing. I think that they grow increasingly desperate as the real Kamala Harris is exposed, as people learn that she's not some likable moderate who's going to unify us, but an extreme radical that would defund the police and who would require every taxpayer to pay for the health care of everybody in the country illegal. I just used a couple examples. I think they will get even more desperate. In all honesty, I would hope that the president would take on a layer of private security, someone to work with the Secret Service, someone who answers not to the government but to Donald Trump himself. It's a necessity at this point. I pray for his safety every night. I say the rosary for his safety and for some others that I'm praying for every single night. I really think his life was spared by God. I think he knows that. That's why he's amazingly calm and serene in the face of all of this. Not unconcerned, but I think very stoic. He understands that once again, this is the price of standing up for America. The people who say, oh, Trump's in this for himself. He's just in for, well, if he were in it for himself, he'd just walk away. He could live the greatest life in the world and people wouldn't be trying to shoot him on a golf course. But he won't walk away. It has nothing to do with his ego. He loves the country and he hates seeing what they're doing to it.
I'll get you out of here on this, Roger. Alex Jones last night saying Trump has got to stop sort of being out there publicly in these ways on a golf course. They're actively trying to kill him. They're coming after him. And it wouldn't be a sign of weakness for him to maybe stay behind more closed doors. What do you make of that? Do you agree with Alex on that point?
I guess I do not. Alex is a good friend of mine. We don't agree on everything, of course, but if you go back to the COVID-19 period in which the pandemic prevented Trump from doing his signature rallies, he immediately began dropping in the polls. As soon as the restrictions were off and he went back on the road to his signature rallies, he began to rise in the polls. The reason for that is that although the national media doesn't afford the kind of coverage to his rallies that I think they deserve, local and state media does. So when he goes to Pennsylvania, he dominates the free media in Pennsylvania. When he goes to North Carolina, when he goes to Wisconsin. So I think it's his signature move. There's no other political figure in America who could do this. I worked for Ronald Reagan. I loved Ronald Reagan. He was a great, great president. But he could not gather 45,000 people to a rally on the New Jersey shore, for example. So I think there has to be some happy medium. I was happy to see this bulletproof glass they put around him. But then, as you saw, when a woman in the crowd fainted, he came out behind the glass to make sure she was okay. By the way, that's the Donald Trump I know and love. And when he raised his fist in Butler, he didn't know if there was still an active shooter. He had no way of knowing. That was an act of courage. That was a way of him showing people that he wasn't hurt so they would have hope and keep the faith. I think that was an extraordinarily courageous act.
Well, I think it all comes down to the Secret Service, and I agree with you from your earlier statements. I mean, how sitting president, not a sitting president of the United States, but just a few weeks after he's nearly killed, you don't have a larger detail now with him. It's unbelievable to me. I said I was going to get you out of here a second ago. Were you surprised at the response from President Biden and Kamala Harris on this? Their comments were, we're glad he's safe. Anything else on their comments?
Yeah, let's be very candid. All of this is the result of the hatred that they and their allies have whipped up in the country. When Congressman Dan Goldman says Trump must be eliminated, by the way, they're thinking about having him sit on the committee investigating the events in Butler, which is outrageous. Or when Chris Matthews says Donald Trump will have reporters put up against a wall and shot. No, Chris, no, he won't. That's crazy. By the way, Chris, you sat next to me at the Bethesda at the Sea Church when Donald married Melania. You thought he was great then, but you don't like him so much now. Those in the Democrat Party with their extreme rhetoric, he's Hitler, he's going to be a dictator from day one, he's going to suspend the Constitution, he's going to outlaw birth control, he's going to outlaw, these are all lies. They're lies, but they are contributing to this atmosphere of hate in which you can see some deranged person or someone who's politically motivated try to kill him. So somebody has to say they need to temper down the rhetoric. They need to bring down the temperature. I don't think they're going to do that because I don't think they believe they can beat Donald Trump without smearing him, without creating this caricature of him.
I agree. Well, we got 50 days left or so. Might see some more craziness, and we hope and pray for the president's safety as this sort of madness continues. Roger Stone, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us on this crazy this crazy news cycle on this Monday. Thanks, Roger.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's great to see you again.